Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
And so we meet to study God's Word together as we are in our Scripture Spotlight. This week in our Bible Principles, we are covering the topic Christian behavior. We'll be diving into what makes a person truly Christian, right? Beyond just the label. It's not about profession. It's about putting the tests to it, right? Christian behavior isn't about a checklist of rules, apparently. It's about radical transformation of the heart. So let's discuss how a relationship with Jesus naturally, by default, change your DNA. How does it do that? You know, changes your attitude, your daily choices. And we're going to be starting off right at the foundation and asking, why does behavior even matter if we are already saved by grace? Join us in this discussion. Share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear from you. And helping us make sense of it all is our elder, Dala Umangena. So good morning to you and welcome to AWR.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to the listeners. I hope I'm audible.
Loud and clear. Thank you so much for joining us. Trusting that we find you well.
Yes, it finds me well, and I hope you are also well.
No, by God's grace, we're doing just perfectly fine. Thank you, Mdala. Mdala, we appreciate you once again to come through and guide us as we go through this discussion right here, looking at Christian behavior. And when you look at the tenets of Christian behavior, right, what it requires Christians to do, some people view it as a set of rules, right, just a list of rules. How does our understanding of Christian behavior, especially as a fundamental part of our faith as believers, as Christians, how does it clarify what Christian behavior actually is?
Actually, when you look into our fundamental belief, you know, it clarifies that Christian behavior, it is not as rigid and legalistic as maybe some may think. Mm-hmm. It is not something that is forced upon us. Mm-hmm. Though there are rules, though there are commands, though there are laws, but those laws are meant to remind us rather than to stifle us, okay, or to make us behave like robots. Mm. But what God needs from us, it's voluntary service. It's voluntary listening to Him. When we follow Him with the love that we have for Him, mm-hmm, and understanding that Christian behavior, it is a lifestyle. It is who we should be when we believe and we follow Christ. Mm. So it is not just a set of rules that now at the end of the day, people feel like they want to be free from those rules. And it's something that is apparent these days, even in the Christian world, where people in a way sort of like agree with the devil when the devil accuses God of being that kind of a ruler who just wants people to just follow blindly, you see. Mm. So, but Christian behavior, our fundamental belief, how it was set up, is just trying to explain, to say, look at the holistic Bible and see how actually God interacts with His people. To say, let it be a lifestyle, let it be a thing that is in you, and rather than seeing it as somebody from a distance remotely controlling your life.
Yeah, yeah. You make mention of words such as how we should be when we are in a relationship with Christ. You make mention of words such as lifestyle. Is this meaning this is organic in its approach? It's something that happens without effort, without trying, without, like you're putting across, it's not about the list of rules of you must not, you must, you must not. Are we saying these things must come naturally by themselves, these behaviors that Christians ought to do because we are in this relationship?
So what happens is that when you look at into Christian behavior, mm-hmm, or what is expected of us, né, it is a matter of when you look properly and entirely into what God expects from us. Mm-hmm. Né, it is something that we need to look at as a lifestyle, a relationship with God, because unfortunately, the damage that sin made in our lives, it is no longer now.
Oof. Dala, we're losing your line there.
Aim to, Okay, I'm back.
Yes, yes. You were saying it's no longer?
I'm saying that when you look into it deeply, it is no longer an organic, I mean, a natural thing for us to be good or to be like Christ. Mm-hmm. Because of sin has created a damage in our lives. And the damage goes deeper than we realize because of what sin behaves like. It behaves like some kind of a foreign organism that takes over a human life and then transforms and changes what God created at the beginning in his image into another image that is strange from what God has put into our lives, in our DNA, in our soul, you see. So that is why it would seem like Christian behavior has so many set of rules because of God is trying to make our brains think above impulse, to think above emotions and above inclination, but rather to say, though I feel this way, but when I think of the rules, when I think of the reason for the rules, when I think of the relationship I need to have with God, when I think of the foundation of the rules, that it is love, that the commandments are built upon the foundation of love, that God loves me, he is not in a way toying with me, then you get to realize that though it's not organic or natural for a sinful human being to behave like the way Christ wants us to behave, but when you remember, so it's as if God is tapping into the logical part of our being to say, let the logical part of our being be able to control the feeling part of us or the impulsive part of us so that we do not end up blaming God even for things that he's not involved in. And that's why the very same Bible gives us a full picture of before sin and during sin and what life will be after sin, so that we realize that actually, no man, God is not trying to, you know, make us not to enjoy life. Yeah. But what God is seeking to do is to make us see the danger of not having the presence of the Holy Spirit or righteousness around us.
Yeah.
So that's what our fundamental belief is trying to give to us. And remember, in our booklet, it is just a summary. But when you read now the entire, or when you study more into Christian behavior, you get to understand greater how God really operates when it comes to behavior. Yeah. Yes, and that transformation that is needed in a person's life.
Let's talk about the transformation, Mdala. You know, it's as though the premise that we're coming from is men are blank slates, and whatever they then become is learned behaviors, is learned attitudes and lifestyles and so forth. Because when you read Romans chapter 12, for example, it says and be not conformed to the world, right? So in other words, that's one of the options where you could have been drawn to say, I want to rather conform. I look at what I see around me and I copy those patterns and I conform. Oh, this is how they do things. Let me also try and do the things like that. This is how they behave when this happens. Let me also try and do that when that happens. And this is how they gain stuff. Let me also do what they do so I can gain the same stuff. Don't be conformed, though, the Bible is saying, but rather it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does this internal change, rather, coming in from a mind perspective, renew the mind to an outward reaction? How does that actually play out to build our characters?
You see, my leader, the Bible or this issue of Christian behavior, there's something psychological about it, and deeply so. And Christian psychologists have been trying to understand exactly how the mind works. Mm-hmm. Because of when you look mostly into the New Testament, even getting to Romans chapter 12, I mean, it's not an isolated verse, you know, verse 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. You combine it with other verses, especially where Paul writes or where Jesus speaks, you know. Because of when you look into the psychology of it, we are not blank. When we come from our mother's wombs, we are not blank. And then in deep theological language, there is this words that are called righteousness imputed and righteousness imparted. Those are big words. You know, and then after that, there is what we call sanctification. Then there is what we call a perfection. And then there is what we call also a revival. So when you look into, when you study Christian behavior and looking into all these concepts, their definition and how they come together into how are we, by the time we come out of our mother's wombs, you find that we are not empty when we come out from our mother's wombs. Because of even the best of parents, they can still give birth to a child that has propensity towards selfishness. You see, when a child, even at the toddler age, is unable to share a toy or say, this is mine, or, you know, the element of selfishness. And then you wonder, where do they take it from? Because of, I never taught my baby selfishness. Where do they take it from? It is the issue of when we are born, we are not born empty. We are not born empty vessels. That now there's a fight between the devil and God to say, I want to populate that empty vessel. We are born with propensities. Mm-hmm. And when you look into Psalms, our interpretation of what David says, when David says that I was born in iniquity, mm-hmm. you know, in sin I was conceived. Mm-hmm. We are interpreting it in this way to say that from the genes themselves, from the curse that was given to the genealogy of Adam, we are born with a propensity towards sin. Mm-hmm. And then God says, but no, remember, Genesis 3 verse 15. I'm not going to leave you alone. I said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Meaning, right from birth mm-hmm. or from conception, as God, I'm going to fight for my space in that build up of that fetus person in that womb. While naturally, because of the curse of sin, you should sway towards sin, or you have the propensity towards sin, but I will fight in order to bring some goodness in you. That's where now those two terms come in. Righteousness imputed, righteousness imparted.
Okay.
There is goodness we are born with, but it is mixed with the Lord. But the more, then Proverbs comes in, train up a child. So the more you train a child, you are enhancing the goodness, and then the Holy Spirit then comes with Romans 12, transforming, renewing the mind to say, now that you understand that even though a child has the propensity towards sin, but sometimes when you, or most of the times when you rebuke or discipline a child, the child listens. So you can see there's goodness and, or light and darkness fighting in one. Mm. And then God says, give me a chance to deal with the light so that I can enhance the light so that at the end you can see what righteousness imparted can do in a child's life, in an adult's life, or in anyone that seeks to be transformed, anyone who seeks to be renewed by the transforming of the mind.
Mm-hmm. When you read Matthew 15, in verse 19, it speaks about how, and this is Christ, right? He says to the people, out of the abundance of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and so forth. And these are what make a man unclean, things that are coming out of their hearts. Why then is the emphasis on visible behavior patterns when Christ is saying it's about the heart?
Now, when you look into the issue of the heart, again, biblical language, we know that the literally, biologically, or scientifically, the organ called the heart does not think, does not feel, is just an organ that regulates the flow of blood in the mm-hmm. body. But when you read the language of the Bible, the heart is used in the space of scientifically the brain. Mm-hmm. But now, at other verses, the very same brain is divided. You'll hear Paul writing your hearts and your minds. You'll hear Jesus saying, love God with all your hearts, with all your minds. So it's as if like the same brain is being divided into two. So there's a part of the mind that thinks, then there's a part of the brain that feels. Okay. So when Jesus deals with out of the heart, stems out all these negative things, he is saying impassively, you have the ability to kill, you have the ability to commit adultery, you have the ability to follow false worship of idols, you have the ability to do, I mean, to say wrong things to people. So sometimes even the most meaning people, even the people that mean well, from time to time you find them faltering, answering the wrong way, you know, shouting or saying things that are hateful to others. So Jesus is trying to say, if you follow the feeling part of the brain, you are prone to do so many things that are wrong. But if you allow the thinking part of the brain, which is the mind, the frontal lobe, because of now it has been trained, Jesus has taken hold of it through the Holy Spirit. You are able to say, instead of hitting this person, the brain then says, or the mind then says, stop. Think of Jesus. What will Jesus do? Think of how he reacted, and then you think otherwise. It's like when you are a parent, you are angry. The child has just spilled flour on the floor, and you have just cleaned. Now, out of the anger, you could kill the child. Okay. But now something quickly, in a split second, says to you, stop. This is your child. You might kill the child. And then you stop for a while. Now, when the emotions have gone down, that's when now you find a chance to discipline the child, whether by word, whether by time out, however you discipline the child. But it's no longer out of the impulse where you could have not had at least breaks of fighting. You see? So therefore, when Jesus speaks about the heart, he's speaking about the moment where you're saying, let not your feeling part of the brain take over your life, but allow the thinking part of the brain to take over, to say, while you are trying to make sense of your feelings for that moment, at least think and find out, won't you hurt other people? Won't you damage other people? And then that's where now Christian behavior is being sort of like sowed into our lives, like we grow into being like Christ.
Thank you, Mtara, and thank you for the clarity as well. But I'm still missing the point or the part where you explain why the emphasis is on actual stuff. Because let me repeat the question. Christ here is speaking about how these things happen in the mind, in the heart, and the location is not the point of what a Christian is. And thank you for the clarity of saying, no, the feeling and the thinking part. That's beautiful. But the point is, if Christ is still addressing it as a matter of the heart, as a matter of the mind, that's where the problem is. Why are we not emphasizing the dealing of it, of Christian behavior there? Why is emphasis on the visible parts? On dressing, on diet, on exercise, on all these things that are outflows, physical and tangible. Why is that where the emphasis is?
Now, the issue here is that, my leader, when you look into how Christ, now I'm getting into another part of trying to answer this question. When you look into how now Christ says, I need you to regulate each other. For example, when in Matthew 18, he says, if a person falters, let these two sort out their issue. But if they can't, let there be witnesses. If not, let it go to the church. If the person does not listen to the church, the person must be treated like a heathen. Now, you will wonder, why would Christ leave such an important work of regulating Christian behavior on other human beings? Because of he's giving fallible, imperfect human beings to deal with this issue of Christian behavior. And then the problem is that we only judge the outward, because we can't read the inside. We cannot read the thoughts of any person. All we see is the outflow. You see, but Christ is saying, no, understand that this theology is deeper than you judging the outside. Because of the issue with the Pharisees is that they were always mastering in the outward. And then you quoted Matthew chapter 15, but it's also found in Matthew 23. When you read the entire chapter of Matthew 23, Jesus is at pains to explain to the Pharisees to say, you made yourself masters of the outward, but you forget what causes that outward outflow, which is the issue of the inward. So meaning, while you are entitled or given a duty by God to discipline one another, to encourage each other to goodness. But do not forget that you need to encourage each other with the inward, the work of the Holy Spirit in every man. Meaning, don't just judge and don't give a solution. Don't tell me I'm going to disrupt people with how I dress, but you don't give me prayers. You don't give me sermons and verses and studies, Bible studies that will assist me to understand how the Holy Spirit operates, where the Holy Spirit will operate in me, so that now what will flow from the outside should be a transformed mind that is inside. So once the mind and the inward is transformed, as Jesus is talking about that cup, you know, that he says that you are more concerned about the outside of the cup. You are more concerned about the outside
question,
of the plate.
That's what we were asking, because we're understanding what Christ is saying. And the question was to say, but why is it that when we hear teachings, the focus is on dress properly, eat properly, work properly, do things properly? Why is the focus on the outward when Christ is saying the emphasis? We're getting that Christ is emphasizing the inward, which is what you're talking to us about. And we are already understanding that. The question was more on the, why then do we emphasize on the outside when we talk Christian behavior? But unfortunately, we'll have to then leave it there for today. And thank you for the explanations that you've already given us. We truly, truly are grateful for those and the wisdom that they've shared us on us to help us make sense of it all.
Thank you very much, my leader.
And we can't wait to hear as we expound more going into the balance of the series to help us make sense of this idea and this concept of Christian behavior and how exactly we ought to grasp it and make use of it in our lives. Thank you once again, Elder. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Comment coming through here saying the outcome should be reflective of the inside, right? The outward should reflect what is on the inside. That is certainly true, and that's what we are called to as Christians of today.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.